Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Internet Report's Pulse Update, the bi-weekly podcast where we discuss what's up, what's down, what's working and not working, and generally keep our finger on the pulse of how the internet is holding up week over week. This week we're chatting about Take-Twos and what happened when a change that resulted in issues the first time is attempted a second time. We'll also take a look at lessons from recent disruptions at Slack, X, formerly known as Twitter, and Discord.io. And joining me to discuss all this week is Brian Tobia, my good friend and colleague and lead technical market engineer at Thousand Eyes. Brian, welcome back to the Pulse Update podcast.
Thanks, Mike. Always happy to be on.
Good stuff, mate. So let's start with the download, my TLDR summary of what to know about the internet this week in 2 minutes or less. Outages are often caused by change that has unintended consequences. When this happens, engineering teams are quick to roll back the change to restore services and fix the issues. However, normally they just can't abandon the change. It's time for take two, and the question becomes, how will take two land? Will it be a case of second time's a charm, or a situation where lightning strikes twice? In recent weeks, we saw potential instances of this take two pattern play out at Slack. A fortnight after a routine database cluster migration clashed with a scheduled job that required database capacity to complete, causing a 2-hour Slack degradation on August the 2nd, Slack experienced another database-related incident on August the 17th, though a much shorter 17-minute duration. Though they were both database related, it's not 100% clear that this disruption was linked with the Slack disruption at the beginning of August. However, even if the two disruptions weren't connected, they still underscore an important facet of take two. After experiencing issues with a change when it's time to try again or roll out a separate change, teams are normally on high alert and are ready to stop at the first hint of trouble. As a result, any negative impacts from the second change, there will likely be much less severe. This could at least partially explain why the August 17 Slack outage was much shorter than the August 2nd outage. We're going to unpack that a little bit more later in the episode. On August 22, we saw another potential Take 2 scenario unfold recently at X, formerly known as Twitter. On August 22nd, X experienced a bug that made the content of images uploaded before 2014 disappear. The company confirmed that weekend work, presumably some sort of maintenance, uncovered the bug. The next weekend, X experienced additional disruptions. Now, while there's no direct correlation between the previous weekend's work and the events of the following weekend, the fact that they both appeared to be focused on linking connectivity to the backend content and resources may mean that the second weekend's outages were caused by a continuation of the work that had started the previous weekend. We're going to chat more about that outage later in this episode as well. Discord.io, a third-party service for crafting custom invitation URLs to Discord servers, has taken itself offline for the foreseeable future following a data breach. The incident occurred on August 14 and the service has been offline more or less since, with the company explaining the decision was made after confirming the content of the breach and it could take some time to resurrect as it's conditional on a complete rewrite of their website's code as well as a complete overhaul of its security policies. It isn't overly unusual for a company to pull the systems offline after a cyber incident. It happened to Western Digital and payroll and HR provider SDWorks a few months ago. Nor is a complete reconstruction of affected systems or infrastructure overly unusual. As always, we've included chapter links in the description box below, so you can skip ahead to sections that are most interesting to you. And if you haven't subscribed yet, we'd love for you to take a minute to hit subscribe button now. It really helps us out, and also make sure you're the first to know when new episode drops. And please feel free to email us at internetreport@thousandeyes.com. We always welcome your feedback and questions. And now let's take a look at the overall outage trends we've been seeing. So global outages exhibited a downward trend over this two-week period, initially dropping from 171 to 147, a 14% decrease compared to August 7 to 13th. This was followed by another decrease with observed outages dropping from 147 to 129, a 12% decrease when compared to the previous week.
Yeah, we definitely did see some decreases globally. However, interestingly, looking at the US numbers, we actually saw US-centric outages increasing slightly over the same period. So they rose from 59 to 62, almost a 5% increase when compared to August 7th and 13th, and rose again the following week from 62 to 63 the next week, a 2% increase.
Yeah, we did see a difference there, albeit a real slight one, and the numbers we're seeing here are still low. But this upward trend is reflective of what we observed in previous years for the same period. And one thing I also want to note about the US-centric outages is they're again making up at least 40% of all global outages, a trend we've seen since April, except for a brief departure in the previous fortnight. Expanding out and looking at the total, the trend for total global outage over the last summer, the Northern Hemisphere summer, in previous years, we've seen the end of June and through July and certainly into August, a steady upward trend. So far this year, we've seen it go the other way. Now, we're recording this episode just before August ends, so stay tuned for the next episode where we're going to do a little bit more of a deep dive into the four-month data from August and see if that trend turns around. And now, let's discuss some of the outages we've seen over the last few weeks as we go under the hood. On August 17, Slack experienced an issue that manifested users' messages not being sent and threads failing to load. According to official explanation from Slack, the cause was an indexing change that caused a higher than expected level of requests to their database. The resulting high load errors were responsible for the impacted users' inability to load messages and channels. For those listening on the audio only version of this podcast, what we're looking at here is, on the screen, is a view of the outages seen from ThousandEyes platform. I'm going to be sure to talk you through it so you don't miss out. And for those of you who aren't familiar, ThousandEyes is a platform that gives you a great view into the entire digital supply chain. We have ThousandEyes agents across the internet providing us multiple vantage points to see where disruptions are happening at both the network and application server levels. Visibility like this can be especially useful to help operation teams quickly identify and fix issues that come up, in addition to creating mitigation strategies in advance that can enable you to minimize impact. Okay, so what we got up here is a view of ThousandEyes, but looking at Internet Insights, where we actually look at a lot of the data all sort of gathered together. So we're looking at sort of billions of measurements to actually see, and this is then how we're able to pull out. What I've got in the top timeline there, and this is kind of very interesting, which I want to sort of to discuss with you, Brian, is we can actually see where the Slack outage occurs. So we see the August 17th, we see it's actually sort of hitting there, 16:21 UTC time there, and we see the outage time of 17 minutes. We're going to see it impact sort of 161 servers there as well. But what I'm really kind of cool is that I've said in many episodes before, I'm a very simple network engineer. I love those patterns. And what I can see here is this beautiful step pattern coming up where we can actually sort of see the outage occurring. And each one of these, I'm sort of seeing greater impact in terms of the server. So I flip down to here, I can see sort of 16 servers being impacted. And then I sort of come up and I can see the number increase then to sort of 58 and so on. So when we're looking at this type of pattern, Brian, what does it tell you when we see this sort of step pattern?
Yeah, so it's a really interesting pattern. And like you were saying, it's kind of indicative of how the errors were occurring, especially in this case when we're looking at indexing errors. So it's showing you the problem kind of gradually getting worse and worse as the backend system can't keep up and is doing at a predictable level, like those steps are showing. So each time a certain amount of requests comes through, it's just getting more and more backed up. And that's why you're seeing that trend rise up over time to where it was at its full level eventually.
Yeah, so you mentioned indexing there, and I mentioned it when we're going through the overview. So just briefly, what do we mean when we say indexing, and why is it done?
Yeah, sure. So indexing is done for better performance. So essentially, it's looking at all the information and creating some metadata in it to create an index or a list of where to find things so that a system can easily look up something, when it goes to retrieve it. And without those indexes, performance can really, really drop. And that's exactly what we're seeing in this case, where the indexes weren't able to keep up. And so those requests were going through as, full requests, not optimized. And that's really where those steps were coming up.
Got it. So then we see those steps because we see the load increasing. And then obviously that they identified at this point here. So we're looking around sort of that 16:35 UTC. And then it drops off. It's almost a light switch. So what we're saying is they sort of resolved the issue at that point. They rolled back what they were doing, or they rolled back the change they'd actually implemented.
Yeah, and once those indexes come back, you can see the normal level of performance. That's why it's really interesting to see. It shows you how good those are, how effective those indexes are. And then as soon as, like you said, they roll back that change, that level drops right off.
Yeah, well, thanks, Brian. That's actually really interesting. As I said, I love that, the way we can actually sort of see that. And you can see how the efficiency, as you said, the efficiency of the indexing is taking place. So sticking with that theme of potential follow-up work, let's take a look at a couple of issues at X. X, formerly Twitter, experienced a bug on August 22 that made the content of images uploaded for 2014 disappear. The issue reportedly affected old posts that came with images attached to any hyperlinks converted through X's built-in URL shortener. The company confirmed that weekend work, presumably maintenance work of some sort, was the cause of the bug. No images or data were lost, X said in an official support post, adding that the bug had been fixed, but that it would take a few days for the issue to be fully resolved. The next weekend, X experienced some additional disruptions. So what happened on this second outage, the following weekend, was that we actually started to see these errors coming back, returning the content. Now, what I want to take a look at first of all, so I've gone back into Insights, and we're looking here at the screen. We've expanded it out, so we're actually looking at the window. So here we can see the sort of the week leading up to that weekend work. But then over the weekend, and what we're looking at here on the top line is sort of all these disruptions or outages at an application level. So this is where we start to see impact of servers. So we're seeing sort of errors coming across from there. And we've got it filtered just looking at X or Twitter in this case, so we can actually see what's happening there. So Brian, when I sort of see this pattern where I've got inactivity occurring through there, and then we suddenly see this activity, and as I said, it looks like it's starting specifically as the weekend starts, so we're looking out of hours to sort of traffic. What does that kind of tell us, or what do you think that indicates that we're seeing here?
Yeah, similar to what we've seen before too, with the timing of the day too. So just maintenance windows, whether it's a weekend maintenance window or nighttime maintenance window, we've seen those patterns where we'll see that. And especially we've talked before about how, you know, follow the sun and how we'll see it in different cascading through different areas. So it's really interesting to look at the time of these and seeing, as you were showing, how it spikes up there. So definitely looking like this was a maintenance activity.
Yeah, that's cool. And as you say, so we see these little spikes coming through the week, you know, nothing's, and these are sort of isolated areas there, but just the magnitude come from there. Your main interesting point there as well is that, you know, we're looking for the maintenance windows we come here. When we're dealing with X, we're looking at this social media platform. So this is sort of, you know, a 24/7 type of tool or solution. What we've got to find there is a window. What they have to find is a window where they can actually do this to cause the least disruption. So they obviously look like we're going to go outside US hours on a weekend.
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting, like you said, to see the trends of that too, and especially the repeats here as we're talking about, to see it, you know, happening both times, whether it's the same maintenance work or not, but to look at the trending of outages, you can actually then get an idea of when they're actually making these changes and what those windows might be.
Yeah, absolutely. And the peaks come through, then we see them in bulks coming through. All right, so let's actually dive into this a little bit further. How this manifested itself is that we got connectivity to it. We've seen the network path was clear. When we were looking at that from Internet Insights, I could see the sort of the peaks coming through from there. So I want to dive into one particular focus of that, or one particular time of those peaks that we actually saw from there. So again, what I've got in now, I've got into actually looking what a page load test. The reason I want to look at a page load test is I actually want to see what was being rendered on the screen to come back, because I think that's kind of interesting. So the first thing to note here, Brian, is I'm actually looking across the global view. We can actually see that I've got, I'm looking at a page load perspective in the top line here. I can see the time it takes to the page load. I have it filtered on one particular agent, in this case in Warsaw in Poland, and that's really just sort of indicative. This was a global, this impacted global, which again allows us to identify that this was something happening in the with the application within the back end itself. So the first thing there, like I said, sort of the page load time comes in. But if I look at the map below, I can see different images. So different magnitudes. So I can see that I'm actually loading. All right, I'm taking sort of time, taking 5 seconds there, which is different to when I sort of come out of that peak, to when I'm actually sort of seeing sort of average of two seconds. So again, you know, obviously not ideal, but it does look like it's loading. And then I see areas where I'm getting sort of no response times come from there. So quickly then, what does this sort of tell us? Are we saying that we can deduce from this we got something that's happening with the application, or are we saying there might be some sort of loss within a network scenario?
Yeah, I mean, the nice part about this is, and looking at the application layer, that you can definitely see that, you know, some locations are loading, some weren't. So most likely it's an application layer issue, you know, and especially seeing the load times going up like that. So that's why it's really cool to see, because if you were just looking at like a network test, you might not actually see this detail. And especially from all the locations, like you were showing, you know, it's good to see where those were coming from. And now that we're seeing these, you know, the high page load times, you can kind of then try to drill in and figure out, you know, what was actually causing that page load time. Was it, you know, an error, some sort of content within the application? And that's really where you can drill into.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And just before I go into that, I'll drill into it, which is the nice segue into that, is more so what we're seeing here is we're not picking on one particular well. So you mentioned in the earlier when we talk about that follow the sun, and you and I have talked about this before, follow the sun, we're doing it sort of have less impact on the various users. What I'm seeing here is sort of sporadic, as it were, or distributed impact. So I'm seeing sort of some in Europe there, but I'm also seeing some in Europe load. So again, this tells me that this isn't something with a distributed, isn't regionally affected. I can sort of see wide scale. So if I then go down, what I'm looking now is that I've actually gone in, so I'm actually looking at a waterfall. And what we mean by a waterfall is it's how does that page loading, how are the objects loading and what's going through from there. And I love this view. It really tells me what's going on. So I can actually see this is the interaction that was happening. And this is what I'd have seen if I was actually a user, in this case, sort of trying to access the URL that we had there. So the first thing I see if I come down to this view here is I can start to see sort of the redirects coming across from there. And then I sort of see this 503. But then what happens next is kind of interesting. And do you want to just sort of just take us through that, Brian?
Yeah, and it's like you're saying, it's interesting because normally sometimes we'll see like connection errors, but now we're actually seeing where that image is trying to be pulled back, and that's where the big timeout has that giant bar you see across the screen is the time it's taking to try to pull that back, and that's where those high page load times are coming through. So this is an interesting one to look at because it's a little different than your standard can't connect error or some sort of HTTP error. This is actually showing that content is having trouble being retrieved.
Yeah, absolutely. This is brilliant. So it's a good point I missed out on. I'm actually gone onto that wait time, and I can see that wait time there is sort of 7,662 milliseconds, and that's where they're getting that 5 seconds sort of delay from there. But then the interesting thing, or the thing I find interesting, as you said, we're trying to pull that content, but normally what we'd get there is we might get a 503 coming back, which we know then it's an application. We the service is unavailable. We can't restore that that image. But here, what we actually see coming back there is we now actually get content. So following that 503, I see 200s. So if I was actually looking at that from a completion perspective, I'd say, well, I actually ran that test completed. I could see what's happening from there. The fact that I've actually got this error in the middle may be missed if I'm actually not able to actually go and see that sort of content. And then once we pull down there, and what we start to see, if I look at that particular image, and this is an image just downloaded, we can see the .png from there. What we can see is it actually is an error state. And if you were to actually expand or drill into that, that's that little ice cream, you scream for ice cream, that error meshes that would have been presented onto the screen. We've got some problem, we're going from there. And this is really important because what this tells us is that we don't have a problem with the backend connectivity. What we have a problem with is actually sourcing where that data is or pulling that data, where that data is located to come in, that sort of linkage problem.
Yeah, it's super interesting. Like you said, if you were just looking at the error codes, like or completion codes even as well, you wouldn't realize what was happening. But digging into the actual user experience and viewing the times and like you said, what error images are coming back, super interesting to see what the actual process was if you were a user who was actually experiencing this outage. And that's what we were able to simulate here.
Yeah, and just a contrast. Yeah, absolutely. Just a contrast there to show you what it looks like when it's going well, this is a page loading normally. So I'm actually going and I'm pulling all my sort of JavaScript. I'm pulling the data I actually need to come back. So again, I'm just scrolling through the waterfall for that same agent of one where it was actually working. So again, we're seeing this in bulk. We actually sort of see them make changes because they did that work where they were doing on the link shortening the previous weekend. I said, there is nothing that says this to link these two together, but we kind of sort of say we're actually working on this information. So we're working down a similar type of path. We're looking at the linkage to those. It isn't the connectivity issue. It's actually where that data is actually sourced in the back end.
Yeah, it's super interesting outage to look at.
Yeah, it was really interesting to look at there, Brian. And the thing as well, what sort of want to end on there is that the work was actually seemed to be contained over that weekend. There wasn't much chatter out that we saw coming there, sort of user complaints. So said, we were talking about this is a 24/7 social media application that sort of people, when they go to it, expect to be up and going. And although some people would have seen disruptions, and if you'd gone in at the time they're actually doing some of the work, you might have actually sort of had that error message, or you would have had that error message coming back for some of the content. They seemed able to keep that quite restricted, as it were, or contained into a particular area. So we didn't see sort of too many complaints. There wasn't so much going out from there. So, job well done on sort of keeping that contained there. And again, then when the weekend finished, we've seen sort of, again, small spikes. We've returned to that sort of normal pattern, as it were, for sort of outage and disruptions that are going on. So I think a word of congratulations sort of should be there for how they sort of conducted the work and reducing the impact to the user population.
Yeah, that's a great point, and definitely hats off to them. I mean, it's interesting to see the trends of the outages and how the maintenance windows goes. And it was, you know, like you said, kind of gone unnoticed a little bit. So it was good on their sense and when they actually time these out. But interesting also for us to dive in and take a look at what actually happened.
Yeah, absolutely. That visibility is important. And thanks for the word unnoticed. That was what I was desperately searching for when I was trying to ramble on before there. So it's excellent. So as always, Brian, it's been an absolute pleasure. And I hope we can have you back real soon.
Thanks. Always glad to dig into the outages.
So that's our show. Please like and subscribe. We really appreciate it. And it's valuable to us. As I mentioned at the top, not only does this ensure you're notified as soon as a new episode is available, but it also helps us in shaping the content of the show for you. Follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, @ThousandEyes. And any questions, feedback, or guests you'd like to see, please send us a note at internetreport@thousandeyes.com. So until next time, goodbye.